We're going to start on Erevin. I'm sorry, my daf head. Okay, so we're going to start on Makos daf, Yud Zayim and Aleph. My goal is to learn. Today's daf is really, this week is Yud Zayim and Beis, but since it's been like a few months, I'm going to review from the Mishnah, and then we're going to continue from the Mishnah of Yud Zayim and Aleph all the way until probably the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says the following. We're going to do Yud Zayim and Aleph from the Mishnah. We're going to do Yud Zayim and Aleph. We're going to do almost the Daf today. Okay? It's mostly Limudim. Okay? So the Mishnah says the following. Ha'ochel bikurim ad shelo kara aleihem. Okay, so it says, if you eat bikurim, so now we're talking about, the Gemara is going to discuss other types of situations where you get malchus, right? That's what this chapter is all about. So the Mishnah says, ha'ochel bikurim ad shelo kara aleihem, ad shelo kara aleihem. So if you eat bikurim, what are bikurim? So they're first fruits. Before you do Kriya Shem. So what is Kriya Shem? Kriya Shem is that you have, essentially, what do? You bring it to Yerushalayim, and then you make a declaration. You know, the Arami Ovid Ovi declaration. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take the first fruits. You're supposed to lean it up against the Mizbeach, and then you're supposed to make a declaration. So if you eat the Bikurim, the first fruits, the Kohen gets to eat the first fruits. But if he eats it before this declaration is made, so then he gets Malkus. Do Bikurim require Yerushalayim? Maaser Sheni requires Yerushalayim. I'm not 100% sure if Bikurim requires Yerushalayim. I'm not sure. If the Kohen eats the first fruits before the Yisrael. So Yisrael takes the bag of fruits, he puts it up by the Mizbeach, and then he makes this declaration. I understand. So if he, okay. A practical point of view is he puts it down, he has to find the text, and meanwhile, the Kohen starts munching on it. A lot of these situations, okay. So, everyone can hear me on the Zoom? Yeah, you can hear me? Thumbs up? Yeah, okay. So that's one thing. And also, kache kachim chutzaklayim. If you eat kache kachim, so there are two different types of korbanos, two different types of sacrifices. You have kache kalim and kache kadashim. So kache kadashim are, korban that have greater sanctity, like ola, chatas, asham, Shlamim, Lechem Aponim, Menachos. So all those korbanos, so they are, they have to be eaten inside the Azara, right? Inside the Mikdash area, the courtyard. The Kalayim referred to the curtains, you know, where the courtyard of the Mishkan was, and what's called the Azara, where the Kohanim were it has to be eaten there. But so if you eat outside there, so then, or if you have Master Sheni Chutz L'Chomer, if you eat Master Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim, I'm sorry, Kachi Kachim Chutz L'Chomer, and then Kachi Kalim, those are lesser types of korbanos, like a Shlamim, like a Toda, like a Bechor, so those are have lesser sanctity. The higher level sanctity are Ola, Chatas, Asam, and Shalmei Tzibur. The lower type are Shlamim, Toda, El Nazir, Bechor, Master Behaban, Korban Pesach. So for these lesser types, so they have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, okay? The higher types, they're eaten by the Kohanim, and they have to be eaten in the Azara area. So if you do the wrong thing here, you get Malkus. If you're Shover Esa Etzem, B'Pesach HaTahor, HaRezelo Garbay, if you break a bone with a Korban Pesach, right, you break a bone, so then you, for Korban Pesach, so then you also get Malkus. Aval hamosir batahor, but if you leave over the Korban Pesach, you don't finish it at night. V'shover b'tamei eino lo garbayim. However, if you, let's say there was a Korban Pesach that was tamei, it was not tahor, it was tamei, and you break the bone. So then you don't get malchus, even though you shouldn't do that. But that's only a problem of the prohibition is only if it's tahor and not if it's tameh. And also, if you leave it over, the whole if the korban pesach was tameh, let's say the korban pesach became tameh, whatever reason, became tameh, and you broke a bone, so you don't get malchus. You only get malchus if you break a bone. That's tahor. Additionally, there's a prohibition of noser. You're not allowed to leave over the meat, the korban pesach meat. So if you leave over it, you also don't bring a korban. Why? Because that's what's called a lav hanitak laseh, that the Torah says don't leave it over. But whatever is left over, you have to burn. So that since there's a lav connected to the assay, so therefore you don't get malchus. Okay. And now there's one case which we actually saw a few months ago, which was discussed earlier in Malchus, and that is taking away the sending away the mother bird. So here that's a debate whether you get malchus if you violate that prohibition of shiloh hakad. Hanotel eim al habadim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So you have a debate whether you get malchus for that. What's the nature of the debate? So that's the question. In other words, do you view it, if you think that the purpose, why do you send away the mother bird? Because you don't want the mother bird to see when you're taking away the eggs. So like, if you take away the eggs already, how is sending away the mother bird afterwards, how does that help? It doesn't really help the situation. So therefore, that's Rabbi Yehuda's position. He's saying, like, you get malchus because you can't, that's like, it's one thing to say, what, if you steal something, so what do? Return that which is stolen. You left over Korban Pesach meat, so what do? You burn it. So that fixes in some respect. Once you've already taken the eggs, like, sending away the mother bird afterwards has no ramification. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's position. The Chachamim Omrim, Mishaleach ve'eno loke. Chachamim say, no, you send away the mother bird and you don't get malchus. Why? Because you can fulfill the mitzvah saseh to send away the mother bird. He said you can still fulfill the mitzvah. It's more of a technical halacha, even though I think logically, to some extent, Rabbi Yehuda's position seems to be more reasonable. But maybe since the Torah actually says, don't take the eggs, send away the mother bird. So the way it's written in the Torah is the aseh follows the lav. So it's like, that's the halacha. Even though I think logically, it doesn't seem to help anything. But maybe since the lav is written before the aseh, so this is called a lav hadidak laseh. So we have a bunch of examples where you get malchus. We have a few examples where you don't get malchus. Then we have this debate about shiloh hakad. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to explain that this halacha about bikurim, the first fruits, that again, there are two different things to do with first fruits. You bring it, you lean up against the Mizbeach, and then you make this declaration. So whether you get malchus, if the Kohen eats it before the declaration, that's actually a debate. What? So I think we just bring it around Shavuos time, I think. Yeah, I think so. We do. Right. So what happens? I'm not sure what happens if you don't bring it for a while, like at some point, right? Every few years, you say, you know, Biarti Akosh in Abayas. I think it's like that. I think twice you have to make this declaration. You got rid of everything. But I think you have to bring the Bikurim before you eat the rest of the crops. So that we try to bring it, you know, Shavuos time. So Amar Rav Chada, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zo Divrei Rav Akiva Stama. So he says that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. What's a Stam Mishnah? So that's an anonymous Mishnah. So that's interesting, right? So he's saying, so even though you're right, that very often a Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, so what he's saying is our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. In other words, there are many Mishnah. It's not a hard, fast rule. It very often when there is an anonymous position that is Rabbi Meir, when it says Acherim Omrim, that's definitely Rabbi Meir. An anonymous position, sometimes it is Rabbi Meir, but apparently it's not a hard and fast rule. There are many Mishnayos that Rabbi would bring in the Rabbi Akiva opinion and say it just as an anonymous position. And he didn't mention that Rabbi Akiva said it. And Rabbi Yochanan heard that this is what Rabbi Akiva said. And that's what he's saying, is that Rabbi Yochanan's of the view. He said this Mishnah, he had a tradition that this was Rabbi Akiva who said this, even though it was written as an anonymous Mishnah. But Chachamim say, Bikurim Hanacha Ma'keves Bohem. So the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that no, you understand that for the mitzvah Bikurim, so there is what's called Hanacha, then there's Kriya Shem. There's you put it by the Mizbeach, and also you make the declaration. So just, they're both mitzvos, but only the Hanacha is what's called Ma'akev. Only that is essential. Once that's done, then you still have a mitzvah to do Kriya Shem, but it doesn't prevent the Kohen from being the Bikurim. Now, you still make a declaration, but it doesn't prevent it from being the Bikurim. Correct. That's the opinion. That's our Mishnah. And now Rabbi Yochanan says that this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but the Chachamim elsewhere say differently. Right. Kriya Ein Ma'akevas Bohem. So this is actually a debate. And so Gemara says, "V'leima zodiv Rabbi Shimon stim saw." Why don't you say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon? Right. So it's not only Rabbi Akiva who's something to stop Mishnah. It's something that's even Rabbi Shimon. Why don't you say it's Rabbi Shimon? Because apparently Rabbi Shimon also holds like this. We're going to see soon how. So the Gemara says, "Hakamash v'lad." The Rabbi Akiva Krem Shimon Sphere Light. So Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us, apparently, there's a brisa somewhere that's very clear that Rabbi Shimon holds that Kriya is essential, and Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon. So now Gemara is going to ask my Rabbi Shimon, where do we find Rabbi Shimon saying that only the Hanacha is essential, but not the Kriya Shem? So the Tanya, because we have a Brisa, which is the following. The Brisa says, "Utrumas Yadcha Elu Bikurim." So the Pasuk says that this is from Devarim Yud Beis Yud Zayin. So the Pasuk says, the truth is, I brought sheets. I didn't. If you have those of you who are Zooming, if you open up your Safari, it might be helpful to follow along. Look in Devarim, Yud Beis, Psukim Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches. That might be helpful to follow along on the side. Devarim, Perak, Yud Beis, Psukim Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches. We're going to do Vav and Zayin as well also, but at the very least, Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. So here, the Brisa says, Utrumas Yadcha. So what's that referring to? So the Torah tells us that, hold on one second, I got to find this myself. In Dvarim Yud Beis Yud Zayin, the Torah says, Lo sucha lecho bisharecha. You're not able to eat in your gates, in others in your towns. Maser degancha tiroscha yitzarecha, bechoros bekarcha tonecha bechol nidarecha, shertidor midvasecha tumas yadecha. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you're not allowed to eat in your gates. What do you mean, your gates? That you can't eat, like, in your towns, and we have to explain what all these things are. So we're going to explain the last thing first, the Trumas Yadcha. So what is a Trumas Yadcha? Elu Bikurim. So why is Bikurim Trumas Yadcha? Because apparently also, in Devarim Chavav, Pasuk Dalet, that it used the word Yad. It said, V'lakacha Kohen Hatena Mi Yadecha. And there's Trumas Yadcha, the tithing or the donation, that's from your yad. That's a term of art. Where else do we find that you take something from your yad and give it over? Where is that? Bikurim. So Trumas Yadcha, so they said you can't eat. It says literally you can't eat in your gates. Trumas Yadcha. What is that? So therefore what? I'm Rabbi Shimon. So he's saying, Ma bazel lam deinu. What does this come to teach us? So he says the following. La'ochlan chutz l'choma. So the simple reading of this pasuk is what? The simple reading of this. So the way the Gemara is going to work now is going to explain every single phrase in this pasuk. That's how it'll be helpful. Again, if you're zooming in, it'll be helpful if you have Devarim Yud Beis Yud Zayin, just so you could see everything. In other words, the simple reading of the text says, don't eat all these things, bisharecha, in your gates. The simple meaning would be what? Don't eat any of these holy foods out of their restricted location. So the simple meaning would be, don't eat the Bikurim outside. So this is your question, Artie. Where can you eat the Bikurim outside? So this seems to say, chutz l'choma, outside Yerushalayim. It seems you have to eat the Bikurim inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So you can't eat it. So maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. So we're saying, no, that can't be true. Kal vachomer mi maser hakal. No, you would learn that from maser, which is lenient, right? And we're referring to, I believe we're referring to maser sheni, right? Well, how is maser sheni more lenient than bikurim? How is maser sheni more lenient than bikurim? What? Okay, that's okay. That's a drink one way. It's also maser sheni is eaten by non-Kohanim. Bikurim is only eaten by Kohanim. So if Master Sheni, if we're saying that what? Uma Master Akal Ochlan Chutz L'chol Malokia by Master Sheni. If you eat Master Sheni, what's that again, Master Sheni? It's the second tithe, right? The first tithe, first, second, or every single year. You give 10% to the Levi, it's Master Rishon. And then the first, second, and fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, you take another tenth and you eat in Yerushalayim, and you can eat it yourself. So here, the Torah says elsewhere that if you eat it, if you eat it outside the Yerushalayim, you get Malkus. So Bikurim lo kol shekein. So certainly Bikurim, if you eat it outside Yerushalayim, you would certainly get Malkus. So then what then is this pasuk, lo sucha lecha bisharecha, trumas yotcha, come to teach you? You already know, based on a Kal vachomer, that you cannot eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. So therefore, ha lo b'hakasuv ela la'ochel mi bikurim ad shelo kara aleihem shehuloka. Rather, it comes the pasuk with Trumas Yadcha comes to teach you that what? That if you eat the bikurim before you do what? Before you do the kriya shem. Before, you know, it's what it's saying here, don't eat it, bisharecha, what's bisharecha? Don't eat it before the guy makes the declaration. And if you do, you get Malkus. So what do we see from here? We see that... No, the Kohen will get Malkus. Kohen will get Malkus. The Kohen is not allowed to eat it before the guy makes the declaration, the Kriya Shem. The Kohen gets the Malkus. Right. So he's saying, from lo suchal lechol bisharecha trumas yadecha. We're trying to figure out what is that phrase come to teach you. It cannot come to teach you a prohibition to eat it outside Yerushalayim, because you would know that based on a Kal vachomer from Maaser Sheni. So therefore, it must... No. You don't need anything. Just like Maaser Sheni, you get Malkus. So that's a more lenient type of tithing. Right? And there you get Malkus if you eat it outside Yerushalayim. So certainly Bikurim, which is holier, if you eat outside Yerushalayim, you should get Malkus. Okay? So therefore, we need to try to figure out what do these words mean? Lo sucha lecha bisharecha trumas yadecha. What does that come to teach you? That's come to teach you something. So it means you can't eat it when what? How can you not eat it? So they're stuck. So they're thinking for it. So it must be what? That you can't eat it until there's also kriyashe. That's Rabbi Shimon. Right? That's Rabbi Shimon. That's the brisa that Rabbi Shimon says that you can't, that you get Malkus if the Kohen, if you're a Kohen, you eat the Bikurim before there is Kriya Shem. And then Rabbi Yochanan said what? That our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, holds exactly like Rabbi Shimon. Now, what we're going to do, and that's why... I understand. So give me something else. Okay, so we're thinking about it. So bisharecha means I don't know. So what's bisharecha? Bisharecha means when else is there a prohibition for the Kohen to eat these foods? So like we have to think about the different possibilities. I understand. Like we don't have a perfect solution for this, but I'm saying what you have to think of a better alternative. In other words, where Bisharecha, as opposed to, right, let's see, Bisharecha, as opposed to, right, this is the Ritva. The Lashon of the Ritva, Ben, is that what? Shekol davar she'ena tzarech linyano, yesh, that anything that's not needed for its own topic, yesh lilmo imenu li'yan acher hadomelo. You have to do something that's similar to it. So again, so what's similar? So you have to find a situation that makes most sense. What would the next thing that would make most sense? So it makes most sense to say what? I think it makes most sense to say, in other words, oh gosh, no, I have a, hold on. The Zoom people, hold on. I have an. This is a 5-year-old laptop, so I need to charge this now. So it goes. It goes. It goes. It dies very quickly. No. So the point. No. If you think about it, what do you do? What you do is you do a couple things. You put it down. Basically, some guy brings these fruits. He puts it down. So then now it's bikur. He puts it down. And then he says something, and then it becomes permitted. So the only possibility where there could be a prohibition is between the time when he puts the fruits down and when he says something. That's probably the only, because after he says something, the Kohanim could eat it. So, but he can't eat outside Yerushalayim, so we're sort of covered. So there's not much else. There's not much else. They're searching. So okay. So in any case, now what we're going to do now is we're going to read the rest of the psukim, the rest of this pasuk, and explain all these other different types of prohibitions, and you're going to have the same questions, Ben. Why not this? Why that? But that's they're trying to find different halachos. So for example, the brice can't eat outside Yerushalayim. So too, these todah and shlamim, which is more chamor than maaser. So that also you shouldn't be able to eat outside Yerushalayim. So ella, right? The reason why todah and shlamim are more stringent than maaser is because they require what's called matan damim. What's matan damim? So matan damim is where you have to basically do what's called zrika sadam. You have to, what do? You slaughter the animal, and then you sort of paint the corners of the mizbeach. You sprinkle it on the mizbeach. So that's a stringency, that's greater kedusha with todah and shlamim. So if maaser, you can't eat outside Yerushalayim, kal vachomer, todah and shlamim, you cannot eat outside Yerushalayim. So therefore, halo ba'kasev al ochel betoda uvishlamim lifnei zrika. So what does it come to teach you? That ochel, that if you eat the korban toda, the shlamim, before the blood is sprinkled, then shehu loka, then you get malchus. Okay? So that's what that comes to teach you. So next, so you have trumas yadecha, then you have nidvosecha. Now, Omar Rabbi Shimon, we have more. Bechoro zeha bechor. Those who have the piece of paper, if you are sitting here in the shir, you see I have here achila bikurim chutz lechoma, that you learn from Meiser. Trumas yodecha, you learn that if you eat bikurim before kriyas Hashem, you get malchus. Nidvosecha, if you eat the korban toda shlomim before zrikas adam, then you get malchus. What does bechoros come to teach you? Right, that's every tenth animal you have to give to the right. You have to donate that. So the zeha b'chor, Amar Rav Shimon, ma baz zeh lamdeinu. What does that come to teach you? Im ba la'ochel chutz l'choma, if it comes to teach you that has to be eaten, that you get malchus if you eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, ka b'chor mi maaser. So then you would know that from maaser. Why? Because maaser, b'chor is more strict because its kedusha is meirecha. The sanctity of the b'chor is from the womb. So that's a holier. It always is holy. So that's a holier situation. Then, right? Im lifnei zrika. If you want to tell me that, if you eat from the bechor before the zrika sadam, that kavachor mitoda shlamim. You know that from how toda shlamim. You get malchus if you eat it before zrika sadam. Certainly, this you would get malchus if you eat it before zrika sadam. Okay, so halo ba kasevel ella ochel mina bechor afil lachar zrika shuloka. So what is the bechor going to teach you? That if you eat from the bechor even after zrikas hadam, who's he? If a non kohen eats from the bechor after zrikas hadam, then he gets malchus. Okay, so bechor you got three things. You eat outside Yerushalayim, you get malchus. If you eat it before zrikas hadam, you get malchus. And if you're a non kohen, even after zrikas dam, you get malchus. Okay, the first two are from kavachomers. The third one is from this verse, ubechoros. We have two more limudim. Then nidoracha. So what does nidoracha come to tell you? Oh, did I miss that? Oh, yeah, called. Oh, one sec. No, did I miss something here? Sorry, hold on. So he says, did I miss something here? One second. Oh, I'm sorry. Bekorcha vitzonecha. So when it says also in the pasuk, your sheep and your cattle, you can't eat bisharecha. So this refers to korban chatas and an asha. What does that come to teach us? If it comes to teach you that you get malchus to eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, kavachomer meiser, you learn from meiser. If it's leaves nein zrika, kavachomer mitorah v'shlomim. If you say to get malchus, if you have a chatas and asha before zrika adam, you learn that from Toden Shlomim, because this is Kadshe Kadshim. Chatas and Asham, they are holier, they are what's called Kadshe Kadshim, and so therefore, and by the way, what's the difference between Kadshe Kadshim and Kadshe Kalim? Kadshe Kadshim, like Chatas and Asham, they can only be eaten in the Azara, the Mikdash area. Kadshe Kalim, like Shlomim, that can be eaten even outside the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. Okay, so he's saying that if so, lifnei zrika you learn from Toden Shlomim, laachar zrika kavachomer mibachor. And what about a non kohen who eats from the chatas or the asham? Because remember, the chatas asham is only eaten by the kohen. So that's more chomer than bachor. Why is that more chomer than bachor? Because they're kachay kachim, but bachor is only kachay kalim. So basically, right, you have three things, right? You have outside Yerushalayim. You can't eat outside Yerushalayim. You learn from Meiser. You have before Zrikas Adam. You learn from Toden Shlomim. Non-Kohen, even after Zrikas Adam, you learn from Bechor. Aha lo ba'kasev ella la'ochel mechatas v'ashem fil la'achar Zrikas chutz l'klam shiloka. So what is this got to teach you? That if you eat it, the chatas or the asham outside the azara, outside the mikdash area, you get malchus. You learn that from how? You learn it from bekor chavetonecha. One more limit to go. Unedarecha zo ola. A neder, that's an ola. Oh, what's an ola? An ola is completely burnt. No one eats from it. It's completely burnt on the mizbeach. Amar yishir ma bazilam deinu. What does it come to teach you? That you can't eat the ola bisharecha. If you eat it outside, if it comes to teach you to get malchus, if you eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, kavachomer meiser. No, that we already know, kavachomer from meiser. Because Ola is very strict. Why is Ola so strict? Because it's completely burnt at all. That's very holy. There's something about Ola that's more strict than anything else. If it's completely burnt, that what does it mean? If something's burnt on the Mizbeach, what does it mean? It means like God, as it were, is eating it. I mean, that's what it sort of means. Like, it's all go to God. So Ola is more chomer than anything else. So you can learn all these things, right? So if it's that you can eat it outside Yerushalayim, you learn that from Meiser. The imlif neizrika, if you get malchus for zrika, kavachomer toda v'shlom. You learn it from toda and shlom. The imlaachar zrika, if it wants to tell you that you get malchus after zrika, sadam kavachomer b'chor. You learn from b'chor. The im chutz l'klaim, if it wants to tell you that if you eat the korban ola outside the azara, so kavachomer b'chatas v'asham. So if you ate it, you're supposed to burn it, but you didn't. Let's say you didn't. Let's say you did. Ha, lo ba kasuv. So what's about to tell you? Ela ocha mina ola la achar zrika afil b'fnim shulokas. What's about to tell you? Your point. That's what I'm saying already. If you ate this animal, right, even inside the base of Mikdash area, even inside the Mikdash, after zrika sadam, you still get malchus. So again, so you have, that's what I have in the chart here, right? I have all the psukim. Right, what each part teaches you. So this is what Rabbi Shimon holds. But what's the connection to our Gemara? So our Gemara is part one of his limudim. From Trumas Yadcha tells you that you get malchus if the kohen eats from the bikurim before kriyas shem. So he also holds it that. So now Amar Rava. Rava says, Amar Rava, di. One second. Okay. So Rava said, di lida ime Rabbi Shimon teilid vi lo teilid. He says a woman who's davening to Hashem who's going to have a son, she should daven. He should daven that she should have a son like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so he says va'afal gav the islahu pircha. Even though, in other words, it's a little stranger. Rav is saying that Rabbi Shimon made this really awesome drasha, and it was so good, it was so smart that a woman who's going to have a child, so she should daven that her child should be like Rabbi Shimon, even though you can, as they say in Yiddish, shlug up. Well, how do you translate that? Refute, right? Even though you can refute his entire kavachomer, his entire argument, right? Why? So what? Now we're going to spend the next few lines challenging, we're going to spend like next half an amud saying why his drasha is not compelling, that his drasha is not compelling, okay? And then we have to say, once we're going to reject Once we're going to say why his drush is not compelling, then we have to explain why Rava said you have to daven, why he's so amazing. Okay, that's what we're going to do, okay? So he says the following. So he says what? So he says, my chumra to bikur me maisa shekein asurim lezorim. Ah, you want to say, what was the first kava chomer? Ah, bikurim, you know, bikurim you can learn from a kava chomer from maisa. Just like maisa, if you eat it outside the Yerushalayim, you get malchus, so to bikurim. Ah, bikurim is so much more chomer. Why is bikurim more chomer than maisa? Because bikurim, non-Kohanim cannot eat it, so it's holier, right? It's holier than maisa, where even non-Kohanim can eat it. Gemara says, adraba, just the opposite. There's something that is maisa's chomer, shekein aser la'onein. He's saying that Meister has a stringency. Meister has a stringency that Bikurim doesn't have. What's the stringency of Meister? That an Onen, right, someone who just lost a relative before burial, is not allowed to partake in Meister Sheni. But Rabbi Shimon holds that an Onen can eat Bikurim. So therefore, you can't do a Kal v'chomer if something has, which is, you know, something which may in one sense, you know, if one thing is stricter in one level, but another level it's not as strict. So he knocked off that kal v'chomer. He's going to knock off every single kal v'chomer. Umaya chomer de tod of shlomi meister. How is tod and shlomi more chomer than meister, more strict than meister? Shekein tudi matan dovim v'imur l'gav yizbech. Why? Because you do the sprinkling of the blood and you burn some of the limbs on the mizbeach. Adrav is the opposite. Meiser chomer shkein tunim kesef tzura. That meiser sheni, if you want to redeem meiser sheni, you can't just redeem it with, I guess, a currency that doesn't have a tzura, a form. You need to have a real form. Why that's so? It's just the ritual halacha. It's clear as a kasa. You want to redeem meiser sheni, you need a form on the coin, whereas tod and shlomim, even if they become pasul, invalid, then and you can redeem them, you don't need to redeem them with a coin that has a form. So that makes it not as strict. Umay chumer de bechor mitod v'shlomim. How is bechor more strict than tod and shlomim? Chikin kedusha asa mirechem, because the bechor is sanctified from the womb. Yeah, adrav, but the opposite. Tod and shlomim are more strict than bechor. Why? Shekein tudim smicho nesachim utenufas chos v'shok. They have all these requirements when it comes to tod and shlomim. You need to put your hands on the animal called smicha. You need to have these wine libations. You need to wave the part of the, you need to, it's called tenufa. You need to wave parts of the animal. So you have all these requirements by tod and shlomim that you don't have by bechor. So therefore, there's a stringency there as well. So you can't learn any of these kal v'chomers. Umay chumra de chatas v'asham mi bechor. And what is the stringency of chatas and asham more than bechor? She can't kachi kachim. Chatas and asham are kachi kachim, and bechor is only kachi kalim. Adra, bechor chomer, she can't disa berecha. Yeah, but bechor is more strict than chatas and asham because it's sanctified from the womb. Umay chumra de ola bechatas and asham. How is ola more stringent than chatas and asham? According to Rabbi Shimon, she can't kalo. It's all burnt. Yeah, but chatas and asham are more strict. Why? Because they can serve as an atonement, unlike an ola. So basically, apparently, Rabbi Shimon felt, right? In other words, if you think about it, Rabbi Shimon felt that the stringencies of one outweigh the stringency of the other. So he felt that you probably could learn these things from a kal v'chomer, whereas the rejections would say, no, as long as you find something that is strict in the other one, then you can learn as a kal v'chomer. I think that's like the methodological dispute here. That's what it seems like, right? So now that Rav is saying, okay, we can totally knock off all Rabbi Shimon's entire drasha, right? It's called ritzoi. It's not an official kapara. There's a lot of Torah on the function of an ola. It's like someone who feels a little bit spiritually unworthy. The lashon, I'm not sure if it does say l'chaper. I'm not sure. I know it says l'ratzon, so it's to appease God. It's clearly not for a specific sin, so it doesn't have that same power. If you commit a certain sin, maybe it's, you know, I think the Ram says that it's l'chaper, and perhaps on like mitzvahs aser they don't do. But there's no like official, you know, requirement of kapara that you have by ola. The big difference is what? It is like you commit a sin, you are obligated to bring an asham or a chatas,
An ola is a voluntary sacrifice. So here, the Ritva, so to address your point, Joel, he says that the av shagam ola mechaperos mitzvah aseh v'lo taseh, while here hu reveir, he says that ola still atones the mitzvah aseh lo taseh and on thoughts of sin. It doesn't really come to atone for this. Ela shakosiv maftia, but the pasuk sort of promises shamis nadev korban ze yiskapu lo kam of avonos. His lashon is like it serves. It does serve as an atonement. I was wondering how you're going to do that whole life. I'm thinking, okay, let's make sure. So it does serve. Is there like a hole in the mask, Ben? Okay, fine. I got it. No one can see on what we're talking about on Zoom. Okay, Ben has his lollipop. I just want to make sure. Okay, so in any case, but it's interesting, you know, how you view this notion. So it's like it's this like it can serve. It serves, but it's like how it does that is not 100% clear. It's like it basically, what are you doing? You did something bad. You feel bad. You're showing your desire. You want to come close to God's Baruch Hu, so you bring this. But it's not like an official. You do this, and you have to do this. At the end of the day, an ola is voluntary. What? Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably more than that. I would say it's more than that. But it's because again, there is significance to the ola. In other words, the ola is like it depends which parshanim you're learning. The ola is like, you know, you feel like your whole body you want to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So like there could be greater symbolism with the ola than simply tzedaka. But it's voluntary. But that's the point, right? So the V'chulho chamire me'ola. And the other korbanos are stricter than ola. The isbu shtei achilos, because there are two consumptions. Achilas mizbeach and achilas adam. And not only does the mizbeach consume the korban, but also mankind does. In other words, man does. In other words, with every other sacrifice, some of it is burnt, and some of it is consumed by a kohen or a non-kohen. But by Ola, there's only one achila. It all goes up to God. So, again, you could say it's still what. But that's what he's on.
So he's like, did the kohen say he wants to be in prayer?
Right, I don't know. But Ola, you have nothing. Ola, you have nothing. It's interesting, you know, that's it's interesting that we're viewing this as a, you know, it's interesting how we're viewing that as a chumrah. You know, you could argue on that. But in any case, the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, Ella my delida imek Rabbi Shimon. So now, after we just knocked off, Rabbi Shimon had this supposedly beautiful limud, we just totally destroyed it. So why is Rabbi praising him that you know, if someone's having a child, we want to be as smart as Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Del my de sphere leila di day, according to how he, you know, how he arranged of that the Ola is strict in the Chatas and Asham, and they're strict in the Bechor, and Bechor is strict in Tod and Shlomim, and they're strict in Ma'atzah Shedi. Misaris leili krav v'darish lei. He intelligently sort of switched around the Pasuk, so that not according to its order. If you would do it in its order, you wouldn't be able to do that. Because you notice, in other words, he went in a specific order. He started with Trumas Yadecha, right? He started with Bechor, with Bikurim, which is Trumas Yadecha, and then he went to Tod and Shlomi, which is more Chamor, and then he went to Bechor, which is more Chamor, and then he went to Chat and Shlomi, which is more Chamor, and then he went to Ola, which is more Chamor. So he went from least to most, but he had to switch around. He had to switch. That was the only way that his Limud would work, is if he takes the least, the most lenient, and then he says, okay, what has it got to teach you? And then he takes the next most, and next most, and next most, and next most. The only way that he's able to do that is by doing the limud not in the correct order. Because if you do it according to the correct order, then it wouldn't work. Because you would say what? You would say, losecho lechol bisharecha maser degancha. What would you say here? V'siros v'tzarecha. Then you'd start with bechoros. So it only works if you have that order. I think Rashi points this out. Rashi says that in the middle of the Rashi, he says she'im darsho kesidro. If you would darsh it according to this order, lo yochel lilmo mimenu asum halel b'chol, you won't be able to learn each one. Why? She'im darsh tchilu v'choros zebachor. If you would say b'choros, this refers to b'chor. V'chi ma ba'alam deirim im la'ochel chutz l'choma kavachom imayser im la'ochel lifnei ezrika kavachom mitodu shlomi ein zanachot. In other words, let's say if b'chor is the first the Bechor is the first thing he's learning from the Pasuk here. So if you want to learn Kal Vachoma from Toden Shlomim, right? Now what do you learn? Bechor, before Zrika, Saddam, you learn it from Toden Shlomim. Yeah, but Toden Shlomim is later on in the Pasuk. We don't know that yet. So I guess it was his intelligence to say that I'm able to figure this out by sort of rearranging the words of the Pasuk. Okay? So anyway, that's the Rava story. Now, but there's a more basic question. V'chi mazhirin min hadin. Wait a second. How can Rabbi Shimon, what did Rabbi Shimon just do? Rabbi Shimon, what did he try to do? He tried to say, well, I'm creating new prohibitions, right? We can learn, you know, prohibition to eat outside Yerushalayim, Kal Vachomer Mimaiser. What do you mean? Kal Vachomer Mimaiser? I thought you can't get Malkus. Ein mazhirin min hadin. There's a basic principle that you cannot get Malkus based on a Kal Vachomer. We don't use logic. We don't use logic because one of the rationales is that human logic, we could get it wrong. So we're not going to punish someone. We're not going to punish someone based on logic. That has to be an explicit pasuk. So how can all of Rabbi Shimon's, all these times you get Malkus, it's based on Kal Vachomers. We have a general principle, Ein mazhirin min hadin. And ha'afilo mandamar onshin min adin, ein mazhir min adin. Even according to the opinion, this is Rabbi Yitzchok, who says you can get a punishment from Kal Vachomer, still you can't do a lav. No, everyone holds that a lav, you can't do a lav based on a Kal Vachomer. So how do we sort of answer that? So we're going to give now two different answers. The first answer is, isura ba'alma. That Rabbi Shimon is not telling you that you get Malkus, but there's only a prohibition. And there's based on a Kal Vachomer, you could say that it's a prohibition, but it's, there's a prohibition, but it's not Malkus. It's obviously, this is like a very difficult answer because, you know, it says low. I mean, Tosis sort of deals with this. I'll just read to you, it's a line from Tosfos, the summary. It says, La'olam ikar pasuk lotuchal bolach lalabit chiyav malkus ba'ochal echa me'advar me'muskar b'pasuk l'chutz l'chobah. In other words, what he's saying is that, what you have to say is that the Braisa that we saw that Rabbi Shimon said, he's telling you that you get malkus. He's telling you that you get loka, that you get loka. You have to learn that as saying that this is lav dafko. Even though it says malkos, it only means an isser. Okay? That's what you have to say. It's not a great answer. He's saying it's only, even though the braisa says loka, don't read it loka, read it only isser, because they're stuck with this major problem. Ein mazhirin min hadin. What? Nothing. You violate isser. It's bad. You sin against God, but you don't get malkos. Okay? So the Hamar Rava, and behold, Rava said, "Zara sha'acha mina ola lifnei zrika chutz l'chomer Shimon lo kechamesh." Yeah, but Rava says that according to Rabbi Shimon, as someone who's not a kohen who eats a korban ola before zrika sadam outside Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Shimon, gets malkus. So we see from here that he actually holds you get malkus based on his drasha. How could you get malkus? Ein mazhir min hadin. So the Gemara first wants to say, Chamisha Yisurim Havu. No, doesn't mean you get Malkus. It simply means that you violated five Yisurim. Vahada Tadad Elu Heit HaLokin. Yeah, but wait a second. This third parak in Malkus says what? Elu Heit HaLokin. This third parak in Malkus is all about times you get Malkus. Okay? And our Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. And our Mishnah said that one of the cases where you get Malkus is Bikurim before Kriyas Shem. And you learn it from this drasha. So obviously Rav Shimon holds that you get Malkus. So therefore, top of Yuches Amud Aleph, let's give you a few more lines. Ela Kra Yiseirahu. Rather, the Pasuk from which Rabbi Shimon Darshed is extra. So now, those of you who are Zooming, if you want to look now on Devarim Yud Beis Psukim Vav and Zayin, that will be helpful as well. Because Midi, let's see, it's written the following: Vavesam Shama, etc. So if you want to go to Safaria, you look in Devarim Yud Beis Vav and Zayin. What did it say? The pasuk says Vavesim shama losechem zivchechem ves masrosechem ves tumas yedchem v'idrechem nivosechem b'choros b'karchem v'tzolchem. Very similar language. The Torah says you should bring there to Yerushalayim, right? Your olos, your zvachim, masros, tumas yedchem, nidrechem nivosechem b'choros b'karchem v'tzolchem. Similar language. And pasuk zayin v'achaltem shom ifnei Hashem elokechem usmachtem, etc. And you should eat it there before Hashem your God. You should eat it. You know, these psukim already tell you. These psukim already mention about eating all of these foods, you know, in Yerushalayim. So therefore, lichtov rachmana lo tuchal la'ochla. So then the pasuk should have simply written, you should not eat them. Why does pasuk yitzayin say, Lo sucha le'echo bisharecha masu d'goncha da 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 da, all these examples. The pasuk Vav and Zayin already said, you should bring all this stuff, and we list all these things, and eat it in Yerushalayim, and then pasuk Zayin simply say, don't eat it bisharecha. Lo tucha le'ochlam bisharecha. Why does it list all of these things? Right? Mehedim afars, lichlo rachmana lo tucha le'ochlam, mehedim afars bu rachmana lamali. Why need to list each and every one. Ella leyachude lehu lave lechol chad v'chad. That since the Torah doubled all of them in the pasuk of lo tuchal, it's as if it says with respect to each one that there is a lav of chutz lechoma. It's as if the Torah said with respect to each one an additional lav. And since you don't need it for that, so that, in other words, therefore. We learned it for another halacha, right? You look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Meheder perusha b'chol chad lamali shmami lichud lav b'chol chad v'chad ki ilu chazar v'kasa b'chol echad lav dechutz lachova." You know, as the Torah says, you should eat these things, you know, inside the walls, and then it says, "Don't do it." So as if it's saying with respect to each of these things, don't eat them outside the wall. Don't eat it outside the wall. Don't eat it outside the wall. So since it's not for one halacha, you learn it for something else. So he'll go bikurim lo chad shlo kora aleim asa ve'ina kol chad chad lemilsa asa. So basically, what happened was it's as if it's writing for each one. Don't eat it. You know, chutz lachoma. But it's since all these things are extra, so we learn with respect to all of them a different halacha. You have for each one of these things you get malchus one for chutz lechoma because because of lo suchal it tells you an additional halacha. So for bikurim it tells you that you cannot eat it before kriya shem, and if you eat it before kriya shem you get malchus. So this is how we save Rabbi Shimon's position. Even though we knock off his Kal v'chomers, we can still justify, and we're still with the position that you would get Malkos if you eat before Kriya Shev. What? Right. You can name your son after him as well. Okay. So, I'm going to stop here. Thank you all for learning with me tonight, and we will stop here. Okay.